Good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are in the world. This is Jock here. This is Pillars of Grief. And I'm delighted. Today's different. I'm delighted. I've actually got one of the members of my community who has been grieving for several years. And I thought it would be a great experience to bring her on to talk a little bit about her experiences and also how she's memorialized her loss, which is a fabulous way of what she's actually done. And we'll talk a little bit about how she's grown through this grief journey in the hopes that people that listen to my friend, from our group, will realize that grief is nothing to be frightened of, and it's something that can actually be a good path to development. So welcome, Denise. Hi. Mack from Pillars of Grief. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm doing good.
So let's talk a little bit about your loss without, obviously, you know, if you get emotional, get emotional, but that's one of these things. But, you know, let's know a little bit about your loss and how it kind of hit you when it first happened.
So like 3 years ago in November, me and my husband, Jeff, we both got COVID at the same time. And, we were dealing with it at home together. And he seemed fine, that, you know, everything was going to turn out good and we both were going to recover. And then one night he just took a turn for the worse and he thought he was going to go to the hospital for the infusion therapy. I stayed home because I wasn't feeling good, and he went himself. He actually drove himself to the hospital. And I just said, I'll see you in a couple hours, you know. Then all of a sudden he was calling me, telling me they admitted him. And, you know, they couldn't give him the infusion therapy. He was in that hospital for like a week. He was trying to breathe. It got worse. But he was eating and everything, and I never thought anything. Then one night he took a turn for the worst and they had to put him in ICU, and they told me that, you know, he had a hard time that night. So, after that, they said they had to put him on the ventilator, and I wasn't expecting that. And I said, I don't want you on the ventilator, because I heard not so good things. And they said, well, it's either that or he might not make it. And I actually talked to him on the phone and he didn't try to not go on the ventilator. So to me, it's something that he needed. And I wanted to transfer him out of the hospital here to, like, I thought maybe a better hospital. And he went to that hospital because they had ECMO there. So the doctor said, if he gets accepted and he needs the ECMO treatment, which is the transfer of the blood, to give him a chance, then he wanted him to go to that hospital too. So he went to the hospital there, but he was on the ventilator the whole time, and he was getting better. I was getting different reports every day. I was getting better, and he was recovering, and he was probably going to get off the ventilator. And then like 3 weeks later, I got the call that to come to the hospital. And so I went to the hospital. I had his son come, my son, his brother, and we had people come there from our family. And we didn't know what was going on. And he was over COVID, but he got sepsis. So that's really what happened in the end. The whole experience, I'm not, you know, downplaying anybody that had a loved one like pass away from anything else. But this whole experience with this was not expected. And I felt for the first year or so that maybe there was something I could have done differently, or I could have you know, maybe try to stop him from going to the hospital or something.
Yeah.
But my realization was it was his time. And there's nothing that I could have done about that.
Hi, thank you for joining me here today. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast if you are interested in anything that I have to teach, if you want to learn more. Make sure you ask questions below in the comments and I'll make sure to answer them. Come back regularly because I teach many different subjects to do with grief, spiritual development, and spiritual crisis. So make sure, subscribe below. I'm so glad you said that. That's so important because there's a there's a great problem, I think, in people that going through a grief journey is everybody, and for everybody is even in our group, they always think they could have done more. And even my wife losing, you know, we as you know, I've like yourself, lost lots of people this year, last year than this year. And you always think you could do more. But there's some comfort in realizing that. And I think it's brilliant that you've come to that point where you've accepted it and said, okay, it was his time. And I think that is such a transformational aspect to recognize that.
And he was the kind of person that, since I've met him, he said, you know, we're only here a short time. This is not home. Home is over there. And I don't know if he just had an inkling, maybe his life would be shorter, or, you know, he just felt home was over there. And I was at peace with that, you know, like that he thought that way. And I actually feel closer to him now than when he was here. We were just so busy all the time. He was working late all the time, and he was taking care of people. And now I just feel like he's always with me, and he's helping me with things. I do honor him from day one. His birthday's in July. Every July, I get family and friends together at the beach that he loved. And we
you've sent us some photos in the group and things like that, where you've been celebrating barbecues and things.
We celebrate.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we all get together at the beach, and we just hang out for the day at the beach and just like kind of party and celebrate him. And we've been doing that since like the first summer.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you ever, because one of the things that people maybe don't understand is they think that their loved ones are gone, right? And whether it's bound by any religious perceptions or even societal perceptions, there's an element, there's many people think, and once they're gone, they've gone. And of course, there's materialist scientists that kind of think that as well. But did you feel in your heart that he was not gone? Because it wasn't long after you started getting little signs of his presence.
It was about a month.
Let me rephrase that. Did you find it first? Because I know the physical loss, when we miss someone physically, it's terrible. It's terrible for us all emotionally. And there's an element where we do feel that loss. But did you feel that's it, he's gone, and it took you a while maybe to get into that, no, he's closer, I feel him? Or did you know straight away?
Well, he was a big presence here. And I believe is still a big presence where he is. And he tried to get in touch with me. I had called a psychic, actually, and I left a message with the secretary like a month later after he passed away. And the secretary never got back to me. So I was putting away Christmas things in the cabinet, and he was a big Christmas person. And I'm sitting there thinking like, oh, you know, it's just terrible you're not here. All of a sudden, I get a phone call from the psychic himself. And he said, I know you left a message with my secretary and she didn't get back to you, but I'm getting this nudge to call you. Like, I have to call you and give you a message. And he said, I have time right now if you want to do a reading. And I said, really? I said, okay. It was like nighttime during the week, and I didn't make an appointment. And the psychic came through with him and gave me like validation that he is still around. He pointed to something. He said to me, you know, you have something on your fireplace, and it's like a snow globe. And I said, yes, that is right there on the fireplace. I just got it from my son, because it was a village inside this fireplace because my husband was big with making villages around the tree, and he was known for that. And he pointed that out, and I just knew he was always around me. Like, he tried to get in touch with me. I went to, after I went to Nashville, me and my sister saw two orange butterflies fly by our faces. And then I kept seeing butterflies after that. The first Christmas, because of you, actually, we had that meeting with the widow group. And you said to buy a gift from them. And I bought a little charm with a butterfly from him. And I opened it Christmas morning. I have that.
I love that you did that.
Yeah, I did that. You know, was in the car one time praying to him, and I look over and a car went past me and it had his name, Jeff, on the license plate. Things like that, like, keep happening. Lights, when I go out, I go to like his favorite places to eat, and lights over me are flashing, they're blinking. His are good friends. I go to their house by the beach or out with them. Songs come on the radio that they know, like, you know, or like the lights flash, their TV pops on. I know he's always around me.
Do you ever get to the point where you question yourself, is this real? Is he real? Because I know a lot of people do. And to the point, you know, is he really communicating with me? Or is it just my mind? Or do you know deep in your heart, no, that was for me, and I understand that.
I know deep in my heart it's him because I feel it. I feel the connection. And I know that he was the type of person that would try to let us know he's around. And he loved his family and friends so much that I know he's always with us, whatever we're doing. And so I never questioned it. I always had faith in that.
No, there's a big thing that I always teach, and I think I've said this many times. There's to tell stories, and I get the feeling that you guys, they're big storytellers. And so, do you sit with your friends and talk about him still?
Oh my goodness!
Or do they find it difficult to talk about him?
In the very beginning, it was kind of hard, but now we just talk about him when we get together. There were so many stories when he was here of things going on. And we constantly bring them up, and it's just, we talk about them all the time.
I often say to people, I'm going to ask you this as well. I often say to people, no matter if I'm sitting doing readings for someone or a group or family, whatever it is, I talk about the power of storytelling. But I always ask people to tell me their funniest story that they have of them, because some people find it very difficult if their loved one has been ill. Or if their loved one has gone, you know, and all, you know, with COVID, it was almost like a biblical plague. It just came down from nothing, and then so many people passed. And so many people gone. And we kind of lose, we feel disconnected, and we lose that connection. But I think storytelling and doing things, it makes it really funny. So share with people out there a funny, one of the funniest things you can remember about him. That might even help them to jog their memory to think about something funny that helped about their loved one.
There are so many stories. I mean, especially with him growing up, I wasn't around him growing up, but his best friends know his stories, and they're all hysterical out at the clubs and everything, stuff that he has done. He was hysterical in himself, and I can't pinpoint just one, but he was just somebody that, you know, you knew he was in the room when he was there. You know what I mean?
Right.
He was always a jokester. You never knew if he was some, you know, whatever he said was true, because he would keep like a face like that was like, you know, stoic. And then he would be like laughing like, oh, you don't believe that, do you? You know, so he always did stuff like that. And just, the memories just flow like when we're all together. You know what I mean? And like,
yeah.
You know, like different stories come up with different people. But
do you feel that you have grown on your grief journey?
I definitely feel I've grown on my grief journey. I try to live for this lifetime that we have. I try to be kinder to people, and I try to help people. He was a big believer in helping all kind of people and being there for everyone. And he kind of taught me that too. And so I kind of live through him like that. I try to do things for him that he would have done. So I think I have definitely grown. You know, I look at myself more and see what I can improve on to be a better person. You know, I think I definitely have grown for like the 3 years.
And obviously, when you came and joined Pillars of Grief, our community, did that help you in any way to be part of a community that was on the same journey as you?
That definitely helped me. I have so much support, too, with like family and friends that I don't know that I couldn't do without it. But the group, the COVID Widows group, have helped me tremendously from the beginning, because I couldn't believe there was other, so many other people that went through the same thing as me. You know, you just like, you think at first, like you're the only one, like that, like, why did this happen? And
you feel alone.
You feel alone. And that group has helped me tremendously.
I know how grief and spiritual crisis can affect you. I've been on that journey for many, many years. And if you've got any questions about grief, about spiritual crisis, about spiritual development, then leave them below. because I answer every question. And I invite you, if you would like support in your grief journey, to join my private community. You can find that link below. And if you want to work with me one-to-one, then you can also find that link below. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel, and I'll look forward to connecting with you soon. And have you, have you ever, in community, often you have people that you've got a support network, you've got people that support you, but also you've got people that are frightened of facing, have you come across that as well? They're kind of frightened to face grief, or they're frightened to face the loss, or even talk to you about the loss?
For a while, I just felt like some people maybe didn't know how to approach me, and they just ignored it, and it felt like it didn't matter maybe, or they're over it or something like that. But as I've grown, I realize people don't know what to say. They don't want to upset you, you know what I mean? Or say the wrong thing, because there's a lot of triggers, you know, during grief. So there are a mixture of people like that, even within my family. For the most part, I tremendously had support that, like I said, I couldn't do without that.
Have you been able to feel that you can express yourself? Because a lot of people that I speak to, and a lot of people that contact me, in fact, we've just got a new member in the group now she'll probably tell us stories as well, Listine, who's in our group. She and others face negativity as such in their community because people are terrified, don't know what to say to them, or tell them that they kind of downplay the grief. They downplay it. And there's an element where people don't understand what you're going through, and you feel that you can't express yourself. So we have members that have been part of in our group, people that I know that have they're terrified to express themselves because they feel as if they're going to be judged. Is that anything that you went through on your? I mean, we're all still on the journey. You're never going to go off a journey. But Right. Do you feel that at the beginning you felt you were held back? You couldn't express yourself because you maybe felt you don't know how other people are going to take it, or they didn't know how you were going to take it.
Yes.
And definitely. Have you got to a point now where you just express it?
Definitely. I've had certain people that I just kind of downplayed it and just cried to myself. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because I was afraid to either get them really upset themselves, or I didn't want to put them in an uncomfortable situation. The other ones were people maybe more close to me, and they kind of understood. For me, it's like me and him had such a, Jeff had such a great love that sometimes I felt like people didn't understand, that maybe didn't have that in their life or something like that, or they didn't understand us as a couple. So they kind of didn't understand my grief as bad as it was or what I was going through. But you have to just kind of be yourself and let it out, I think.
That's a great thing that you've said. And I would say anybody listening out there, don't be afraid to express your grief in any way. No. I'm not afraid. I mean, I when I lost my mother-in-law, I bawled like a baby when I was in Starbucks. Yeah. you never be afraid of it. And I'm glad that you said that.
I know I mortified my mother one day because she was asking me to go to a store, and I forced myself to go to a lot of places that we have been, and that's the way I've grown too, because I am able to go there now. But this one place I won't go to, we went there all the time, and she said, go to this place. And I said, I can't do it. And she goes, what's the big deal? I started crying, and it was like a trigger, and she was mortified, right. And I felt bad, but I was like, I still can't do that. I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm like, I've done a lot of things in the 3 years, but that's something I haven't done. And I don't know if I want to, you know, there's other places that we've been to, like the last trip we went on, I don't know if I'll be able to go back there. I mean, I could force myself, but it's a memory me and him had, you know what I mean?
In time. And there's never any rush for it. And that kind of brings me on to another subject that I think, is important as well. And I think you had mentioned this before in our community. your loved one's belongings, right? Your people are misunderstand. They think just this, just things, just give it away. And there's an element of truth where you, when you give things away, I've always, as I mentioned in our community, you give it away with purpose to people that will love it and cherish it. But some people don't understand things. They're like, oh no, just give it away to charity or whatever else, or just get rid of this stuff because it triggers you. And since with all the losses that I've had, and even recently, my wife is like, I've got this, I can't give it away. And I totally understand that. You don't have to, and there'll come a time. How did you cope with that part of your journey? Because obviously there's many things in your life, and didn't you make stuff at one point?
Yes. So in the very beginning, like that first year, I started with his clothes. And, you know, he was always very careful with his clothes. He took good care of them. And I wanted people to have a memory of remembering him when he wore certain things. So I had made pillows out of his shirts.
That's what I was getting at. I remember. It was amazing.
I had pillows.
I remember that.
And I gave it to certain people that would remember that shirt. You know what I mean? Like his friends.
Yeah.
We were at their daughter's wedding. So I gave them that pillow with that shirt. They had that at their beach house. I give other people other clothes that would remember him. So I kind of honored him that way and gave it to certain people. I had little bags made out of like shorts of his, like makeup.
I remember you doing that. I remember that because I said, because it was one of the things I think I had done an episode or a lesson about when you get rid of things to make it mean something. And you came in with all this. I've got these and I've got this. I did this. I put pillows out and I thought, you know what? That is absolutely amazing. And anybody who's listening out there, take a leaf out of what Denise did. You don't need to be frightened of that. You can think of so many creative ways to honor your loved one. And that's a phenomenal way.
Right. I mean, they even have those blankets, those memory blankets. You could get the t-shirts and cut them up and make like the memory blankets out of them.
Yeah.
We actually did one together before he passed away that last summer. And we took all our t-shirts from years of like different trips we went on and different things to remember. So I have that. And I also made one of his leftover t-shirts for his mother after he passed and gave her a blanket, like made out of all his t-shirts.
Do you know what? I think that's amazing. I'll tell you a little story about one time, not about giving in away, but it's a really, I was doing a reading for someone in Wales and, I was sitting on a chair, but the chair had something underneath it. There was like a kind of box. It was a bit weird. And I kept on saying to him, I said, he keeps talking about this chair that I'm sitting on. This chair, there's something under here that belongs to him. She said, yeah, it's his ashes. Well, I totally freaked out because I was sitting on his ashes.
Yeah.
I was like, no, that's not like, that's really, really weird. No, that's, no, these are stories that mean something. They're funny. Right. And it's, you know, having somebody's ashes, and you know, one of the things that my mother-in-law said to me before she passed, that any ashes that we had, she wanted to go down and scatter them near the bay, but it had to be a windy day so that it blew back in everybody's face. So I think it's important to share in funny moments and things like that, and memorialize people in many ways. And what you've done with all the stuff that Jeff had that you've made, people will cherish them, and I think that's something that people can learn from. But you did something else really, really unusual. Tell us about that.
What's the other thing I did?
You created your book.
Oh, my book, yes. So I went to his desk one day, looked in the drawer, and he had a list of part-time jobs, I guess, after he retired. And one of them was a part-time children's book author. And he had the idea of, you know, when children are sitting in the house now, just working on the video games and not playing outside like he did. So I honored him with the book, with this book.
Sure, bring it up close to your camera so we can see it. What's it called? What's it called?
It's called
The Adventures of Jeffrey and Friends.
And it's on Amazon. And I created this book for him, but I honored his two brothers and his friends that he was very close to, and they are in the book. So I presented each one after the book was done. You know, I surprised them with the book, and they all have this book. And they're all with him, you know, doing adventures together, like what he used to do when he grew up, kickball and, you know, manhunt.
Yeah.
And making memories together. And actually, he was a big memory person.
So yeah.
I did this in his honor. And
how did you put it together, Denise? Because it's, I mean, that's a lot of work to do. But I know, I've written books.
I just like thought about him, you know, exactly what he would do, and with his friends. And, you know, each person I was had in my mind, like what they would do. And I don't know, it just, I just took notes and it came together.
It he helped just, you, didn't he? He was helping you. Yes. Absolutely. Now, when obviously, did you get hire an artist or someone to do it, or?
It was just a company that I worked with. So right. they did the art and the publishing, and it's on mm-hmm. Amazon now. So yeah, I was excited.
How was that for you? How was that for you? I mean, it's very cathartic to do something like that. But do you think a project like that was very healing for you? Like, how did it help you to do that?
It helped me because it's something that he wanted to accomplish. So I kind of did it for him, and you know, I wanted to make him proud still. So it was something, an accomplishment that I carried out for him as well as me. And it was something I wanted to honor him with, and I wanted to kind of incorporate his brothers and his friends in something.
My God, I bet you, honestly, to be a fly in the wall when you gave it, you gave that book to them.
I know. One of them, his really good friend, got upset. And, you know,
obviously,
yeah, because they weren't expecting it. You know, it just came, got delivered from Amazon, and I explained what I did. They didn't know ahead of time. So it was something that I just given each one of them.
No, it's a children's book. It's in memory of Jeff. But I have a funny feeling that adults are going to enjoy reading it as well, because it's there's an immense amount of energy and compassion and love, not just for a child, but for anybody who's lost somebody.
Right. And it's from how we were years ago. You know what I mean? Like how the memories matter and the friends matter, you know, not just sitting home by yourself and working on the video games or being by yourself. It's about people and connection and being there for each other. And so I think adults would, you know, enjoy it too.
I understand the grief journey. I understand what you go through, the spiritual crisis, or even in development, spiritual development. And so if you've got a question about grief, about spiritual crisis, about spiritual development, then ask those questions below and I will answer them. To the best of my knowledge and experience, I will answer every question. And if you are looking for more support on your grief journey, then I invite you to join my private community. You'll find that link below. And if you want to work with me personally one-to-one, then you can also do that. And that link is also below. God bless. What has been the greatest thing that Jeff taught you in your life?
The greatest thing would be family is very important, and the people connection and helping others. That was always something that he believed in and he did. Everybody loved him. And I just want to carry that out for him and be like an extension of him, you know, and for the rest of my life, try to be the best person that I can be for other people and help them be here for our sons. And I might even write a book for our sons and maybe one of our vacations or something like that, you know, like put that in the book and honor them that way. He was always a people person, and connection is like very important.
I think it is brilliant in the way that you've honored your husband, the way that you carry on his memory. I think a lot of people can learn from that out there. They can learn that it's not the grief is not something everybody goes through, and it's not just about losing, it's loss about losing a loved one. It can be any kind of loss, but losing a loved one, losing someone that's close to you is hard enough to deal with. But you're an example of how you can harness that grief and turn it around into something really positive. And I hope that anybody who listens to you today and anybody who can get a feel for you knows that, you know, you're always going to be on a grief journey, but it gets easier and you can learn so much from it. As I always say, it can be your greatest nemesis or your greatest teacher. It's totally up to you. I think the ways in which you're honoring your husband is phenomenal. And I would urge anybody out there, what is it that you can do? What is it that your husband or your boyfriend or your friend, what did they love that you can carry on? And it's not always easy. You still have ups and downs?
Yes, there's still ups and downs. There's triggers, you know, yeah. The physical part of him is not here. Even though I feel the connection, you know, with him around, you know, it's just something you have to learn to live with and, you know, and get back into your life, you know, and start with happy things again and, you know, try to live like, you know, for them and do the best that you can. And, you know, you still have a life here to live. Like, you know, we're here for a reason and, you know, you still have to live your life and be the best that you can and, you know, try to see what your purpose is and just carry on, but carry on for them and, you know that they are with you like all the time.
That's awesome. Denise, thank you for being with me today on thank Pillars you. Of Grief. I think your words are beautiful. I think they're going to help so many people out there listening. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there and you're grieving, you're on a journey, you want to join our community, then you can do so. There'll be a link in the description. And it doesn't matter if you're an adult and you could just buy this book just to make you smile. And if you've lost, no matter who you've lost in your life, yes, the book's about children, but there's probably a lot more in that book than meets the eye. It probably teaches you a lot more. Yeah, it teaches you a lot. And I would I would suggest anybody out there to go and get the link to the book and buy the book. I mean, it's on Amazon. How much is it?
$15.
$15 is nothing. $15 to make you smile. It's actually probably cheaper than going in for a couple of Starbucks, you know.
Right.
So $15 to make you smile. Think about Jeff. Think about Denise. Think about how she carried on that memory. And then think about what you can do. Think about how you can carry on your loved one's memory. What is it that you can help someone else from? And what can you do with their belongings? There's been some great information here today, and Denise, I want to thank you for joining me. It's been fantastic. I can't wait to read your next book and whatever else you're doing, and I can't wait to share this with the rest of the community as well. And I'm sure there's going to be lots and lots of people that are going to connect with you and hopefully get that book and share in your journey, your grief journey. It's hard to come on something like this and be raw and open and talk about your journey, but I think it's important. Because it's all very well, people who are considered experts being on. I think it's great to have you on. And I thank you for sharing everything with this community and anybody who listens to it out in the podcast. Thanks,
Denise.
Thank you.
If I can help one person, I mean, it would make me so happy.
That's it. That's brilliant. Okay. God bless.
Thank you.
I know how grief and spiritual crisis can affect you. I've been on that journey for many, many years. And if you've got any questions about grief, about spiritual crisis, about spiritual development, then leave them below because I answer every question. And I invite you, if you would like support in your grief journey, to join my private community. You can find that link below. And if you want to work with me one-to-one, then you can also find that link below. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel. And I'll look forward to connecting with you soon.